cold of silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a cold of silence and it can't go on.
Through the Matrix on January the 25th, 2008. And newcomers should always check in to cuttingthroughthematrix.com and go through all the different talks I've given. You'll find just little bits and pieces that fit like a jigsaw puzzle. The more you listen to them, there's a little big variety there concerning the big agenda and the reality behind it all. Because we live in a world of mirrors and delusions, projected delusions certainly, and indoctrinated ones too. Also look into Alan Watts sentinel.eu, where you can download transcripts and print them up, pass them around. You'll find them in the various languages of Europe. I hear so much going on about the truth needing to be exposed. And it's not just since 9/11. That's the whole thing. 9/11 was one start, a beginning of a part of an era and part of an agenda that has to unfold to amalgamate the Americas quickly. That's the difference between the American amalgamation and the EU amalgamation. And they're also using the same terrorism, etc., to push ahead the amalgamation of New Zealand, Australia, and some of the countries in the Far East. They're talking about signing a deal, in fact, for the Far East within the next 2 years to basically start the real amalgamation progress, at least the open one for the public to see. So Europe led the way, as they knew back in the 1800s it would do. And here we are with terrorism, a necessary factor to bring in a global society, because when you have no enemies in your global system, you must always have new enemies to keep the people obedient and behaving themselves, and to justify a sort of police military class, you have to justify the existence, because police and military down through the ages really didn't simply arise in response to some sort of threat within or without. They were generally run by the big merchant boys, the boys that ran the gold systems, the money systems, and the princes and kings that they put into power. That's who ruled them, and that's what the military was for. Even the first peelers, the first policemen they brought into England after John Peel, they called them peelers, and they were dedicated to go around the very wealthy houses in London and protect them from the rabble down below, you know, the common people. Nothing has changed, it's just the perception has changed. And everything has to do with perception. You find most of your perceptions have been distorted. Something that goes back all the way to the old Zarathustrian religion, because they were experts back then in understanding that what comes through your senses, if you can get in there before there is really get to your brain, you can distort the picture that gets to the brain, or else give them a fake reasoning, and they'll use that particular program, it's like a computer of reasoning, to come to a false conclusion, which you want them to come to. Nothing's changed. We're back with more of this after these messages.
This is an urgent RBN financial bulletin. Have you ever thought about making a little extra money at home with your computer? If you have and you would like to make money by actually learning how to beat Bilderberger insiders at their own game, this will be the most interesting message you will ever hear. Here is why. We all know that knowledge is power, but what most people don't know about is how to gain the kind of knowledge that insiders would really rather that you didn't have. Once you get that knowledge, it then becomes a question of turning that information into financial gain. Well, there's now a very real chance you will actually be able to make money this way. Here's what it's all about. There's a new program available that teaches you how to scan the media for enormously profitable insider stories. Once you learn what's ahead for a given company, you'll have an enormous advantage over the rest of the market. Get the details at www.earlymorningadvantage.com. That's earlymorningadvantage.com or call 815-259-4552. Once again, the site is www.earlymorningadvantage.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, back with Cutting Through the Matrix, and just mentioning how terrorism was decided upon long ago. In fact, Lenin even talked about it in quite good detail, that terror was the best way to go to keep everyone in line when you're making massive, drastic changes within a society, which, of course, Lenin and his boys were doing when the Bolshevik Revolution took over in a second revolution and took over the system of Russia. They used massive terror within, and they used this also from history because they'd used the same techniques in the French Revolution. And the big boys at the top who run this world understand this game very well. Most of the public won't do anything to draw heat on them from any of the authorities. They know that, but they always give someone that will and make a sort of goad out of them. They'll hang them, kill them, punish them, and do big trials to make sure that everyone else gets the point. That's what terror really is for. If we look at the aristocracy of Europe, they had no problem in having public displays of executions down through their histories. It was a tradition with them. They'd hang and draw and quarter people in the public square, and often they'd demand that everyone in the area turned up to watch it, even the children, to make sure that everyone got the point. You don't buck the system, because the system is ruthless. And they would do this tremendous, long-drawn-out death, torture and death, ending with disembowelment in front of the dying person's eyes. and that was their way of instilling terror within the public. It's always been well understood. So terror is to be used, and the threat of terror. In the old days, they used the Reds under the bed type of deal. There was communists everywhere, hiding everywhere, all throughout society. And really, it was nonsense, because most people were not communists at all. They were just working people that come through a system of the evolution, you might call it, of various social doctrines that all began in the 1700s, sped up in the 1800s, and it was only in the early 1900s, the mid-1900s, that the propaganda machine went into high gear to eradicate the past, to completely eradicate history, especially in America. And this has been done pretty effectively. Most people don't know that there were violent clashes through the 1800s, especially the latter part, with big organizations fighting for simple rights for people, for ordinary people, that you did enjoy for a little while, but they're now being taken away from you. But they were hard won by people that fought for those rights. And many people died in the process when the big corporations with the militias turned their guns on them in different places across the United States. That's the only reason that up until about the 70s and 80s that you had the big corporations contributing to your pension plans. They were told to and encouraged to from the top. They were given tax reliefs if they would actually give you pension plans or drug plans, medication plans, that type of thing. Now they're taking them all away from you again. And if it hadn't been for all those that fought in the 1800s, you wouldn't have had them in the first place. So as they always say, easy come, easy go, because the next generation can be so quickly spoiled and indoctrinated that they won't even know the past and they won't really care. That's the tragedy of history. And they say history keeps repeating itself for the same reason. We're living in a time that was planned a long, long time ago. Because during all these different revolutions that were going on, and you go through all the different factions of socialism, communism, and all the isms that broke out in the 1800s, with radical groups that came in from Europe, from very often working class people, but they were led by the intelligentsia. Some had devious plans, other ones were more honest about what they were all about. But there's no doubt about it. In those days, there was a very rich and a very poor. And there was a very, very tiny middle class, really. And now they're doing away with the middle class altogether to make sure that there's no one to lead to the masses again. That was always the agenda, because the elite watched these revolutions. They dealt with them severely. Completely severely. You wouldn't believe. You had to read your history if you can get your hands on any. And they had no qualms about slaughter or mass slaughter and rounding people up in the good old USA. The Hollywood from the 1950s onwards gives you nothing but cowboys and some fake old history. Most places within the US were factory towns owned by big magnates. Every house was owned. The shop that sold you your food was owned by the guy who owned the mine. The clothes you bought were bought at his store. So the money that you were paid went back into his hands again, you see. And these were based on a form of, they called it the Owenistic society from Owens, who came over with his idea, and he named a town called Utopia. And this was where the benevolent type of dictator would rule. He got this idea from Voltaire long before him. Because Voltaire had tried it with a factory. He ran a factory town where they made watches. And you would go to the boss if you wanted to get married. You'd go to the guy who owned the town, who owned everything in the town, and you'd ask him, is it okay if I marry so-and-so? And he could say yes or no, because they wanted to encourage a good eugenics-type breeding amongst the commoners. This is all fairly recent history, but it's been completely eradicated from the school books. And Hollywood, as I say, took over and gave us a completely fake reality with Leave It to Beaver. And everybody in the U.S. wearing a collar and ties when Daddy came home, and Mummy being completely spotless and acting like a robot. That's how they changed reality. And at the present time, they're going for the kill, because the big boys, during the 1800s, the big powers, the moneyed people, don't forget their history. They are taught this stuff, and it terrified them. that's why they eventually started to come up with the idea of leading those parties, actually creating some of them, and that's why they created the non-governmental organizations, which actually work for the elite themselves. That's how it was done, because they did not want a repetition of any kind of internationalism on a workers' scale. They wanted their own form of internationalism where these same families, who were always internationalists, would own the whole planet. It's quite clever. You see, that's a dialectic technique. Hard for some people to fathom, but that's how it works. Whereas those at the bottom work for a global system or with some kind of utopian equality, and no sooner gain a yard before they're fighting with each other, because that's human nature. They can't stand together like the ones at the top do. And they're easy to fragment as well. We're on a course for massive change. And the media churns out little stories every day to make the public think we're just going through this and through this and through this. And I do get hundreds of stories sent to me, which I often don't read, because I know the agenda. And to be scared because you actually see part of it being implemented, it doesn't scare me at all. I'm expecting all of this and a lot more. Because the idea, when they created the League of Nations, which was to be the white horse, you see, it was going to be the white horse that would lead all of these big radical factions together to the table. In reality, the rider of the horse would be the big boys as usual, the same aristocracy. And that's what became the United Nations. The United Nations, you can join them if you go along with all of the tenets of their association. Look at all the names of the non-governmental organizations that belong to the United Nations. You'll be shocked. Yet these are the associations that you'll see every day in the newspaper demanding that the people get this, demanding the people want that, and you'll see governments passing laws on their behalf. This is the new supposed democracy, which is just an updated, covert, Sovietized system. And the Soviet system really was no different, because the Politburo used to appoint the heads of the NGOs. Today it's just Rockefeller and a few hundred of his own little henchmen that do the picking and the funding. 9/11 should not be stuck. We shouldn't get stuck on it, because this is a war. The war was going on long before 9/11. For those that think that somehow before 9/11 things were rosy and cozy, you'd have to be very, very young indeed. Because it wasn't. The economy was already going downhill from the 70s onwards. The big plans to bring it down further were already in progress. The free trade negotiations were already done in the late 80s. They talked about the unification of the Americas and they mandated it too. All of this was on the go. But as I say, the only reason they gave us the big shock factor was to allow the unification of the Americas, the Far East, and have the rest of the world come in with the same agenda, unite through treaties on the same goal to hand power ultimately to the United Nations. This is a chessboard. Every part of the puzzle is just a piece on the chessboard, and most people don't know the game is even on. Therefore, you can't simply get stuck on one part of it. You have to do your history before 9/11. You have to see all of the big corporations that were involved and already in running the world. H.G. Wells talked about it. You had Proudhon and others in the 1800s talking about that the corporations would be the new system. You have a corporate fascism, and that would become the new government. But they also knew that they would need these supposed speakers or organizations that would pretend to speak on behalf of the public to guide the public along into acceptance and compliance. You've got to get into your books if you really want to know how we got to where we are today and where we're going. And don't be afraid when you see the news, when you read it every day. Back with more after these messages.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix, trying to get people to realize that nothing's just happening by chance. On a daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly basis, we live through a tremendous plan. That's what government's all about. Above the guys that you elect or think you elect into office, there are other. It's another government. Quigley talked about it. Others talked about it. It's a parallel government. And they have untold billions at their command with which to hire think tanks on a full-time basis to work out problems and details and project the future. Project it in such a way that they'll make it all happen. That's what a business plan is. It's a long-term business plan. That's what the world is. We're living a big business plan. And we're all property of the big business boys. And that's why they're privatizing everything that the public built up with their tax money. Because once they privatize it, they can really put it to you when you need to use them. Now, we watched the Kyoto deal going down, and there's so much hitting the public, most folk forget everything. They can't remember even a few years ago and what was the last big crisis they had. But the Kyoto is to be a long-term ongoing thing as we are reduced to total interdependence on those who control all energy and resources. In other words, everything you need personally to live as an individual, a living, breathing person. And they attach you when you're breathing too, I've no doubt about that. After all, we are carbon-based entities, aren't we? And here's a little bit from the Observer, Sunday, January the 20th, 2008. And this is a taste of what's coming here. And I saw this years ago coming in Britain. Furious fuel poverty soars close to a 10-year record. This is Kyoto, you see. They won't mention Kyoto anywhere in this article, but this is the result of Kyoto. One in six British households is living in fuel poverty, a new term, fuel poverty, the highest for almost a decade, according to new figures that threaten the government's target to eradicate the problem in England by the end of the decade. Uh-huh. Fuel poverty is defined as when a household spends more than a tenth of its income on utility bills. The consumer group Energy Watch said yesterday there are now 4.4 million of these in the UK, with just over 3 million in England alone. Meanwhile, charities and other groups, these are the NGOs, right, led by the Association for the Conservation of Energy, these are the ones that work for the big foundations that demand what the public want, are preparing a legal challenge in the next few weeks from the government to force the government to meet the 2010 target to which it is committed by law. So that's how they do it. They always do it with the government making statements of their commitments to reduce energy consumption. Then they use a big NGO to make sure the government gets to it. That's how they play this game for all the people who watch it, all the ordinary people. That's how it works. It said the figures came at the end of a week in which the UK's largest energy supplier, British Gas, said it was increasing bills by 15%. This month, EDF Energy and Npower raised prices by up to 27%. In 1 month, 27%, and two-thirds of British households will have to pay higher tariffs. Other suppliers are likely to follow suit soon. Of course they will. The regulator is called Ofgem's estimate of 4 million UK households living in fuel poverty in 2006 does not take into account the price rises announced this month. According to government figures, the last time there was many fuel-poor households was in 1999, when the figure was 4.5 million. Numbers then fell until about 2005, when fuel poverty started increasing again. Now remember, these are the people who applied for help. They can't heat themselves and so on. Most people don't apply. They're too ashamed, because this system encourages you to be ashamed, put on a happy face to your neighbours. Despite the likelihood of meeting the 2010 target becoming ever more remote, last month the government was accused of underfunding its Warm Front program, with all these silly programs, which provides grants for poor households to insulate their homes. It allocated £800 million until 2010, but a government quango, the Fuel Poverty Advisory Group, says £1.3 billion is now needed. And it goes on to say how Gordon Brown will be embarrassed and all that rubbish. And I'll skip on to the next part, though. And it says here, it goes on to say how much they're actually earning. The six largest energy suppliers made profits of £2 billion in 6 months alone last year. You see, everyone's getting fleeced as the big corporations just go on a mass slaughter of reaping their big harvest of bucks and pounds and all the rest of it. And this is all to do with Kyoto. Everything is presented to the public as something that's going to benefit the public. The public often pay for the big institutions we set up, whether it's gas, electric or whatever, and then they have a privatization process. Britain had this all my life. I used to watch them privatizing things like the railroad and then putting it back to government so that when it was all used up and they had to repair everything, so the taxpayer thought, okay, it's ours again, so we repair everything, buy new engines and all the rest of it. Then they go and privatize it again for peanuts to their buddies. An old con game, left, right, left, right, left, right, and it's all happening right up to the present time. Won't change, because under this Energy Conservation Act and all the rest of it, we're going to be reduced to utter and absolute poverty. The idea being that your duty, and this is the Royal Institute for International Affairs, this is their mandate, your duty will be born, is to be born to serve the state. You're a servant. You have no rights. You're a servant. That's your purpose, is to serve. And the whole idea down the road of working supposedly for yourself, the little toys and all that, is to go out the window. And eventually, of course, you won't need toys because you'll be a Borg. That's where you're going with all of this. Happy Borgdom. Why would people take brain chips? Why would they take them? Well, I'll tell you after I get back from these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Cutting through the matrix. Before the break, I was mentioning the fact that people will take brain chips down the road, and I was going to tell you how it would happen. It will happen because it will be promoted for a whole host of benefits to everybody. Promises, lots of promises. Number one, it will stimulate your own various brain chemicals, which will tranquilize you so you won't feel so uptight. And that will be advertised on talk shows, big ones, television ones, with famous people, and how wonderful it is. They'll also tell you that you can live a movie inside your mind. Who needs a screen? That's here too. It's virtual. It's a virtual reality. They can follow the brain patterns from your eyes to the occipital lobe and so on, and they can literally tap in and project visions into your head, movies in other words, will be sold to you as something that you want, which goes down well in a jaded society that's done everything else there is to do anyway. They want more and more and more, and we have an insatiable desire and appetite for entertainment. We can't get enough, it appears. There's never been such an entertained society in the planet's existence as this one that exists today. Never been here before like this. And when they raise the stress level of just living in itself, that would be another reason to go and have your little chip put in to make you feel less tense and anxious. It's quite simple. It'd be a new type of tranquilizer. They've already talked about this. They can do it. And that's how they'll sell it to the public. And all the big professionals will be on television to tell you how wonderful it is, this new science, and how we're all going to benefit from it. But of course, what they won't tell you is once you all have your chip, you'll be monitored 24 hours a day, wherever you go. You can't remove it because it's covered with a form of protoplasm that binds with your with the tissue around the nerves, around the neurons. It can't be removed by ordinary. Just try to pull the thing out. It might not be able to be removed by a surgeon even without causing tremendous damage. That's where they're going with all of this. And the public will, step by step, won't take long, they will take it. Most will take it. And then it'll be mandatory eventually, or you won't get into even a store to get your food. Alarms will go off if it doesn't detect that chip. That might even happen with the cards, in fact. I believe there's already some stores that do that, that they're testing out in the US. So science is our prisoner, you see. It's the warden of the prison, and the experts are the wardens as well. And what do they say is going to help us? They say that science is going to save us. You know, give us more of the same stuff that's going to, that has got us in this position. And science is going to save us. And this is from The Observer, January the 20th, 2008. Only science can save us from climate catastrophe. So there's a statement right there. It's a premise. You see, they always give you a premise that you swallow. And if you don't think about it, you'll swallow the rest. So remember, you're being sold a premise, a priori, that's what it is. You're getting something in advance that's not debatable. With an increasing population, which isn't true either, because the West has been declining in its population for years. They don't have the big families anymore, you see. The earnest debate over the merit of biofuels and wind farms misses the point. It is the technologies we fear that will be our salvation, by John Gray. That's The Observer. If there was ever an example of humankind, listen to how it's worded, being unable to bear too much reality, it is the current debate on climate change. I don't see any debate on climate change. I just see orders coming down from the top. No reasonable person, right? No reasonable person any longer doubts that the world is heating up or that this change has been triggered by human activity. There's another two premises. No, you're not reasonable if you doubt it. You can't be a reasonable person. And it's caused by human activity, you see? It's premise after premise. You've got to swallow before you can go on with the rest of this stuff. This is how propaganda has worked and generated. It's classic. Aside from a dwindling band that rejects the clear findings of science, in other words, they know that the massive herd follows the majority. That's why they use polls, and polls are generally fake, to make you want to join the winning group. Aside from a dwindling band that rejects the clear findings of science, everyone accepts that we face an unprecedented challenge. At the same time, there's a pervasive belief that this is a crisis that can be solved by feel-good gestures such as eating organic foods and refusing to fly or installing a wind turbine on the roof. When it comes to deciding what should be done, most people, including the majority of environmentalists, shrink from the discomfort that goes with realistic thinking. George Bush seems to have been persuaded that climate science is not a left-wing conspiracy to join to destroy the American economy. Along with the rest of our political leaders, however, he continues to insist that there are no limits to growth as long as we adopt new technologies that are supposedly environmentally friendly, such as biofuels, economic expansion, and can go on as before. At the other end of the spectrum, Greens put their faith in sustainable growth. There's blues and greens here, you see. Greens put their faith in sustainable growth and renewable energy, the root of an environmental crisis, they say, and here they agree with Bush. Is their addiction to fossil fuels. Again, this fossil stuff is quite fascinating. If only we switch to wind, wave, and solar power, all will be well. In political terms, Bush and the Greens could not be further apart, but there is one in resisting the most fundamental facts about the environmental crisis, which is that it cannot be resolved without a major reduction in our impact on the Earth. This means curbing the production of greenhouse gases. Here's that greenhouse gases again. Where's all these greenhouses that are giving off these gases? Right? Greenhouse gases. Remember what Bertrand Russell says and all the rest of them? Just repetition, repetition. Go back to Lenin again. We shall win by the use of slogans, because people start parroting slogans. And as Russell said, because everyone else is parroting the slogan, even if it's 100% almost parroting the slogan, doesn't mean they're right. Doesn't mean they're right. They used to all parrot the Earth was flat at one time in unison. And this is what it says here. The shift to biofuels led by Bush was all underway in our parts of the world. Sound and I don't have a fax, so I don't know what it was. I guess it's the boys in between having some fun, as they often do, because they put the youngsters on in these intelligence services to listen at night and especially weekends, and they get awfully bored and they play with the lines and stuff. But I was reading this article, and I'll continue with it. It says, yet standard green prescriptions are not much better. Many renewables are not as efficient or as eco-friendly as are made out to be. Unsightly and inefficient wind farms will not enable us to give up fossil fuels, while large-scale hydroelectric power has major environmental costs. Moving over to organic methods of food production can have significant benefits in terms of animal welfare and reducing fuel costs, but it does nothing to stop the devastation of wilderness that goes with expanding farming to feed a swelling human population. As you'll notice, the big boys are moving into farming big time at the Rockefeller, well, the Rothschilds actually, bought hundreds of farms over in India, maybe thousands, and they're going to be the main owners, the agri-food business over in India. And now I see that Bill Gates is also going into this big time. So once again, these big philanthropists that own trillions of dollars are going out to grab your food supply. That's what it is, now that they've put most of the farmers out of business. It says here, so conventional green nostrums are not all that different from Bush's business-as-usual policies. In each case, the end result can only be a planet gutted of biodiversity, with humanity exposed to an increasingly hostile environment. To some extent, technology may be able to replace the biosphere that has been destroyed. Really, really, it's been destroyed, has it? But like an obese patient hooked up to an artificial life support system, we'll be living on borrowed time. Oh, terror, terror everywhere. One day the machine won't stop. An uncomfortable fact which is ignored or denied by both ends of the environmental debate is that an energy-intensive lifestyle of the kind enjoyed in the rich parts of the world, that's all us people, that's all us, you that are reaching at the bottom of your pockets right now to cough up the extra taxes and stuff, that's you. It says here, cannot be extended to a human population of 9 or 10 billion. the level forecast in the UN studies. They're often good at these forecasts, but never right for the middle of this century. In terms of resources, human numbers are already unsustainable. See, they're telling you there's too many. You're the problem. And I keep talking about the first global revolution, the name of the book, the title of the book written by the founders of the Club of Rome, the big think tank that dreamed up the idea of pretending it's global warming and blaming the population for causing it in an effort to try and unite the planet so it would all do what we're told and get this agenda through to make us all serfs again. And the authors admit that in that book. It's the guys who dreamed it up. So here's this guy parroting the same thing. He's on the payroll, and he'll belong to the Royal Institute for International Affairs, no doubt, because these guys are propagandists, and they work for the major mainstream medias and give out this kind of pablum. This is contrary to the Greens. There is not the remotest prospect that the world will renounce the use of fossil fuels. Ask any competent energy economist and you will discover that no expansion of renewables can satisfy the demand for energy that has been generated in China and India. Anyway, does anyone really expect the countries getting rich from hydrocarbons, Russia, Iran, Venezuela, and the Gulf states, to give them up? As long as there is enough demand, these countries will continue extracting fossil fuels. The only way forward is to curb the need for fossil fuels, but at the same time, since there is no way of giving them up altogether, making them cleaner. This means making full use of technologies many environmentalists view with suspicious or superstitious horror. And he goes on to talk about nuclear energy and how you bring that back and how genetically modified crops are going to be our saviors as we all mutate into odd, weird creatures. And the rest of it is not really worth reading because it's a pablum piece, it's a propaganda piece put out in a typical fashion with all its predisposed presumptions to make you go along with it. And that's how we're given propaganda. It's quite simple. The more you hear it, the more people will generally parrot it. Brzezinski said it, remember. Brzezinski said shortly the public will be unable to think for themselves. They'll only be able to converse the following day discussing the previous night's news. And unfortunately, he's right, it's happened. If it's on television, it must be true. Wag the Dog. Watch the movie Wag the Dog. Went through the whole scenario of how you con the public by being on TV. They can tell you anything on television, and the public believe it. They've even pulled off stupendous jokes on television and given fake pictures just for a laugh, and the public all believe it. It's on TV, it must be true. The holy TV. And we're all brainwashed, and we're all herded along a path towards this particular plan, the business plan, and only a tiny, tiny minority of the public truly understand what's going on. Other ones who are involved in movements, left or right wing, doesn't matter, see bits of the plan, but they don't see the rest of it. You've got to shed all your previous beliefs to see the whole big picture and how it all works together, left and right, which mobilizes you along the same path towards someone else's goal. So science is supposed to be your savior. And they're going to elevate the scientist to an even higher level, a higher level of holiness than he already has. And all we'll see eventually are guys with badges that say expert. That's all we have to say, expert. And we'll parrot what they say. Badges and expert. Doesn't take much to control a planet these days. But again, there's no interaction between the generations. The previous generations had little to pass on after about 1940. Because they had a field day after World War II. They were given a few extra pennies. They wanted to get married, have children, have fun, and they had a lot of fun for a while. Eventually they gave them easy credit in the Americas too, which helped to exacerbate that fun. I mean, you're having lots of fun and living like there's no tomorrow, and with the introduction of television, you didn't do much conversing anyway. And you could always give the children money to go out and play. And that's what's happened. There's no There's no teaching the young. The state, as Bertrand Russell said, the state now gives value, the values, to the children. And the parents have nothing really to pass on because we've been degenerated by television primarily and magazines and the culture they've given us for the last 50 years. That's almost like three breeding generations, 50, 60 years. You knock the pillars away with the first generation to make them debauched. The second generation will accept more of it. And today anything goes, as we can see. There's simply no bonding, no cohesion between family units. That's exactly what they said to do has happened. We don't even have, and most folk don't have the finances to take care of their own parents. At one time that was common, that they'd move in, or one, or the survivor would move in with their offspring. That's gone too. It's very expensive now. The state has taken over that role too. Back with more after the following messages.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement, Focus Factor, absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself, absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, back, cutting through the matrix and cutting through all the distorted perceptions with which we're bombarded with every day, all these warped ideas that we get through propaganda. Masses of propaganda. We're even told we should focus our attention, what to worry about. It's the economy, it's this, that, it's the other, and they give you all these different things to look at. So you're always distracted and worrying about the things that tell you to worry about. Meanwhile, it's like the magician on the stage who wears the white gloves and the black coat. And when he's showing you his right hand, you're not looking at his left hand. So I generally try not to look at what the show is. There's something always bigger somewhere else going on, which they'll keep low key. That's how we're controlled. We're told what to worry about as well. And let's be honest, you know, when you think about it, when they give us all the pablum about the NASDAQ and all the rest of these fancy-sounding names that no one has a clue what they really mean, except the guys that control them and laugh at us that try and follow them, it means nothing at all. It's a juggling act. It's a numbers racket. Money itself at the top is a complete numbers racket. That's what they used to call it in the 20s and 30s when the gambling was going on, a numbers racket. It's all games by numbers. Games by numbers. What is money anyway? It's now blips on a screen. It's now dashes through the ether. The big corporations like Merrill Lynch and others can transfer billions of dollars overnight, maybe to three different banks, depending on which ones are opening and what the rate is there. And again, they'll make millions on that investment for maybe a half hour, 1 hour, 2 hours, and then transfer to another one. Just like that. Meanwhile, all the people at the bottom are scraping for a living. Most folks scrape for a living. The biggest corporations pay no taxes at all. Some of them in Canada haven't paid taxes for 17 years. And the government won't go after them because the excuse being is, well, if we hit them too hard, they might close down and you'd lose jobs. See, we don't have that option at the bottom. We don't pay taxes and you're in the slammer. That's how simple it is. We are owned by a big extortion racket. It's not new. There's nothing new under the sun. Your perceptions are different, that's all. They're new. The last century had different perceptions. And before it, and before it, and before it, and so on. We are owned lock, stock, and barrel. And our function, really, as citizens of nations, is to produce and consume. That means produce and pay taxes and consume. That's a good citizen, the definition given out by the United Nations. I didn't know that's what life was all about. And now they've told us, so I'm very, very grateful to them for clarifying that. And the whole idea of nations in the first place, we've got to understand, it was given to us by those that already ruled whole vast areas of old Europe. They had their cousins move into other countries with massive armies, and 100 years later they'd pretend they were creating a nation and drawing a border, and they'd have wars ongoing down through the centuries as they fleeced the public, reduced the population, and kept themselves in power. After all, we need them to save us. That's the con game that still goes on today. Now they're taking away those borders and going for the world. Well, from Hamish and myself, from Ontario, Canada, it's good night, and may your God or your gods go with you.